I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. And I am joined by my good colleague, Paul Gregory, of the Hoover Institution, who follows Russia very carefully for me. He's a Soviet Russian scholar. In addition, he's written over these last years about the fact that Vladimir Putin, the president for life, or perhaps the president for life of Russia, plays a weak hand very well. That's the metaphor, card metaphor. Most recently, Vladimir Putin has stumbled, I use the word carefully here, into revelations about the order of his state police to assassinate an opponent, a political opponent named Alexei Navalny, who has been now jailed for 2.5-3 years at an extreme penitentiary in Russia. A highly disciplined penitentiary. The way it's presented to me, this is the gulag modernized in the 21st century. At the same time, Vladimir Putin has run into sanctions from his European Union partners and from the United States. Dark voices, including that of the new president of the United States, Mr. Biden, who in a recent interview was asked if Vladimir Putin is a killer, and Mr. Biden acknowledged, yes, he is. This allowed Mr. Putin to speak out, you'd have to say, like a gambler, and saying, takes one to know one, let's debate live. Paul, what's important here is Navalny and what's happened to him, not the game playing that Putin is good at in the international media. What do we know about Navalny? What do we know about the sanctions that were visited on Russia because of Navalny? Are they effective?
Well, there are two sets of sanctions, and they're somewhat coordinated. One is the European Union sanctions. The other is the U.S. sanctions. The Europeans, as far as I understand it, have already come up with their set of sanctions against the Putin regime for the Navalny case, where, of course, the most salient feature of the Navalny case is the fact that we know with a great deal of certainty that the assassination attempt via Novichok nerve gas was carried out at the highest levels of the FSB, the successor to the KGB. So the sanctions were levied by the Europeans for the act of poisoning Navalny, and also, I believe, for the sham imprisonment of Navalny for corruption, an anti-corruption fighter being jailed for corruption. We're really still waiting on the U.S. sanctions, and whether they hit hard Putin depends, in my view, and I believe the view of others, on whether the sanctions stop the Nord Stream pipeline, Nord Stream 2 pipeline project. If you were to ask Putin, if you were to hypnotize Putin and ask him, how can the West really hurt me? The answer would be stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which runs from northern Russia directly to Germany. We still have not decided what we're going to do about this, at least according to the information I have as of right now. Biden has said that Nord Stream 2 is not good for Europe. Then there's another quote from him saying, well, it's 95% complete, so there's not much we can do. So we're in a wait-and-see mode right now.
Is it possible to stop Nord Stream 2 with sanctions? This is a project that is favored by Germany, to my memory, and Germany is integrated into the decision-making process of the EU.
We have a very interesting situation developing because due to the COVID mishandling on the part of the German government and on the part of the European Union, there is an ongoing reaction against the ruling Christian Democrats. So it is in my opinion, unlikely that the Christian Democrats of Merkel, who is retiring, will even be in the next government. And surprisingly, perhaps the most powerful force, or at least the second most powerful force, will be the Greens. And the Greens are quite dedicated to stopping Nord Stream 95% complete or 99% complete. You can complete it and not give operating licenses. So we're sort of in a race here because Putin would like Nord Stream 2 up and running before the election when he's going to face a green government.
Paul, what is the significance of Nord Stream 2 for Germany, for Europe? Why do they want to build this? There is an ongoing pipeline out of Ukraine. How does it help Russia to build this new modality?
Although Merkel and the Germans have always said this is a commercial project, it has nothing to do with politics. From the very beginning, it has been about politics. For Russia, it means the shutting down of the Ukrainian transit routes from Russian gas fields into Europe. And these pipelines through Ukraine and Belarus date back to the Soviet period, where the purpose of these pipelines was largely to feed the Eastern European Empire. So getting rid of Ukraine, getting Ukraine out of this transit route, means that Ukraine, A, loses a lot of very valuable revenue, and B, can no longer influence pipeline politics. For Germany, they're getting cheap gas to fund their green energy programs, which call for doing away totally with nuclear power and lignite. So for Germany and Russia, it makes a lot of sense. But for the rest of Europe, it makes little sense. And Germany is facing a opposition from within the EU, even France.
Alexei Navalny, I said that he was sent to an extreme camp. It was described as a daily abuse, especially by the criminals who supervise the huts. They live in huts, and they're very severe towards people who are not favored by the regime. What do we know about Alexei Navalny's fate right now?
We don't know anything, because that dictated the choice of this prison camp near Vladimir, which is remarkably close to Moscow. I thought he would be sent into Siberia. That prison specializes in what the Russians called izolyator. Izolyator means you're sent to this prison and you're isolated from the world. Hopefully for Navalny, he's isolated from other prisoners, because the criminal prisoners could take his life. We don't really know about this. So we don't know much about his imprisonment, because that is the purpose of the prison to which he was sent, to keep him isolated from everything.
You tell me there's a photograph. What have you seen, Paul? We have 30 seconds.
Buzz cut. He looks quite different. He looks unhappy. One really has to admire this fellow's courage for going back, because he knew exactly what was going to happen when he went back. So he doesn't look good.
Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution. Paul and I both read Dostoevsky, if you want to know what's happened to Navalny. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio.